Welcome to another episode of A Sip Down Memory Lane. I'm Emma.
And I'm Olivia.
And today, we are going to hear about Olivia's experiences in the drive-thru. I'm very excited.
I'm glad you're excited. What are you drinking today, Emma?
I am drinking. I'm drinking chocolate milk.
I'm not gonna lie, it looks like dirt water right now. Like everything has sunk to the bottom and it's a little unsettling to me.
Yeah, I put a lot of chocolate powder in it and didn't stir it with a spoon. I just stirred it with a chopstick, which is not a very reliable stirrer, just so you know.
It seems like it'd be a great stirrer.
It's not. They're so thin that they just kind of cut through things. They don't really actually move things. So that was not a good decision, but it does taste very good, and I just, when I was going to make myself some tea, but then I saw our chocolate milk powder, and I thought, nope, that's what I'm doing tonight.
I'm a little jealous.
How about you?
Jealous. Well, yeah, I'm jealous because I have, like, the healthiest thing I've drank in a while, which is kombucha. And this is my first time having it in, like, a long time. Because the first time I had it, I thought I was going to hurl.
Really?
I hated it so much. It was repulsive to me the first time. But today I was like, I'm trying to be a healthy queen today. So I'm going to get kombucha. And I actually don't hate it. Which, amazing. I know if my dad is listening to this, he'll be very pleased to hear because he's a kombucha king.
Yeah, he's made kombucha.
Yeah. Shout out, George, if you're listening.
Yeah, shout out.
You better be.
My mom has made kombucha before.
What is with our parents and liking these fermented beverages, Emma?
They're good for you. And, you know, trying to support the gut health and everything. Actually, the first time I ever heard of kombucha, I had moved in with a roommate named Tori. I love her. She's the best. Shout out, Tori. And one of the first interactions I had with her after I moved in, she was finishing up a batch of kombucha. And that was the first time I'd really
What an impression.
I know. She's so cool.
That's
and
cool.
It was, yeah, it was really fun. So you have the Synergy brand today. Is that the first brand that you tried?
I think so. I think it was the watermelon kind, though, the watermelon flavor.
Oh.
So I was like, I don't know what trilogy means, but it sounds like a great flavor. It just tastes very gingery, which, like, I've been really into ginger recently.
Yeah.
So.
Well, next time you get kombucha, you should try, I think it's, oh, shoot, now I don't remember the name of the brand. I'm pretty sure it's called My Health Aid or...
The one that you pointed out at Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Okay.
That brand is my favorite, and I really, really love the Pink Lady apple flavor.
Oh.
It's so good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's, like, actually delicious. You know what? I think we might have an old bottle of it in our fridge that I don't know how long it's been in there for.
Ooh, extra strong.
Yeah. It could be... I don't know how those things work, but maybe it's alcohol.
Hope so. That would be fun.
It would be my first time trying alcohol if I drank it.
That would be a sad first experience. I bet it tastes rancid.
Probably.
It looks like you're drinking like a protein shake. It's so thick. I'm so jealous.
Do you want a sip?
No, it's okay.
I think I counted. I put 4 heaping tablespoons. Chocolate powder in this.
You have to.
Yeah, the thing is if you're gonna make chocolate milk, it might as well be chocolate.
Yeah. There's no point trying to be healthy at that point.
Just no.
Full send.
If I was gonna be healthy, I would not be drinking it.
You'd
at
be
all.
Having kombucha, Emma. Okay.
That's exactly what I would be doing.
It's a sore subject right now.
All right, well then let's move on. Let's move on to our exciting things.
Okay.
What is your exciting thing, Olivia?
Okay. Well, this technically happened a few weeks ago.
That's okay.
So exciting things. I'm still, yeah.
Exciting things are always exciting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still reaping the benefits of this. One of my favorite artists is Phoebe Bridgers.
Yes.
I love her. And she's in this like really cool girl band called Boy Genius.
Oh.
With a couple other great artists named Julian Baker and Lucy Dacus. And they came out with three songs and they're dropping an album in a few months. So those three songs have just been like on repeat hardcore. Like, I don't think I've listened to much else in the past 2 weeks. And I just love them and appreciate them so much.
I'll have to check them out. I have heard Phoebe Bridgers songs, but I wouldn't say I've listened to Phoebe Bridgers. But what I've heard of her, I really like.
Yeah, so. She's a genius, but she's not for everybody. She's a little sad girl.
I mean, that's just art in general, right?
Yeah.
Art is not meant to be consumed, or no, let me rephrase. Art isn't meant to necessarily be enjoyed by everyone. It's just meant to be enjoyed. So it doesn't matter who enjoys it.
That was poetic of you.
Thank you.
What's your exciting thing for the week, Emily?
My exciting thing also has to do with an art form. We watched the show Wednesday.
Yay!
And we binged it. Have you watched it?
Okay. I've watched the first two episodes.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's so good. And like those first two episodes are really awesome. I think at the very end of episode two, something major happens and it's like, what? Anyway, I absolutely fell in love with it. We watched it so fast, Dixon and I. And we just finished the last episode. We finished watching it last night. We stayed up late to finish it because I just had to know what happened next. And Dixon was like, oh, I'll just be here on the couch with you. I might fall asleep. He did it. He stayed awake the whole time.
Sucked right in there.
Yeah. It was so good. And what was so exciting about it was not just that it was really good. I'm a big Tim Burton fan, which also I feel like for people who aren't big Tim Burton fans, it's a perfect, it's not a super Tim Burton project.
Yeah.
It's fairly mild.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
Yeah. So like Dixon doesn't love Tim Burton, which is fine. I understand why people don't like him. I love him. I was raised watching a lot of his movies.
Did he do Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this last Halloween, I made Olivia and Dixon watch Beetlejuice with me because I grew up on that movie and they'd never seen it. Yes, he did Beetlejuice.
Masterpiece.
So Dixon really enjoyed Wednesday as well. The acting was super good. The story was so good. It was fun. It was quirky. It was a little bit spooky, but not like overly spooky.
Yeah.
But the thing that was so exciting for me is that I haven't watched something in a long time that I've been excited to watch. Like, I have some things that I'm watching that I enjoy them, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, I have to watch the next episode. Like, this at every step, after every episode ended, I had to see what happened in the next one. And it just felt good to be able to feel that about a show because it has been a while. I think the last show that did that for me was The Umbrella Academy.
Oh.
And the last season finished up. The last season finished up at the beginning of last year. So it's been maybe a year. No, that's not true because I also, Dairy Girls was another one.
Oh, yeah.
That I watched recently and I've rewatched it a couple times already. But even then, it's still been a long time. So it was really fun.
That's really fun. That there's like nothing like that feeling.
Yeah.
Where you just like can't stop watching or reading something.
Yes.
It's so addictive.
I describe it as dating to people a lot. That like when you're trying out shows, you go on dates with them and you have to decide if you really want to commit to this show or not. And sometimes you have to decide if you even want to put in the energy to go out on the date with this show.
Ooh.
And you might go on a few dates and then decide that it's not for you. And sometimes you might feel pressured to keep going out anyways.
Because everyone else likes it.
Yeah. You know, like stuff like that might happen, right? But then sometimes you find these shows that you just click with and you don't want to ever part with them.
Okay, this is adorable.
Thank you.
Now I know what it's like to have a boyfriend.
Yes. If you've never had a significant other, think about your TV shows. Now you want to know what I say about...
Problem solved.
You want to know what I say about movies?
Let's hear it.
They're like one night stands.
Oh, Emma, spicy.
I've never had a one night stand, but that's what it feels like, right? Like a movie, it just happens and it's over. And, you know, maybe there are sequels, but...
It's not the same after the first one.
No.
I'm liking these metaphors you're coming up with.
Thank you. I've put a lot of thought into them.
Taking notes or something. Educational.
Yeah, keep a notebook out for these things. All right. I think it's time for you to start your story. I'm excited to hear about your drive-thru experiences.
Yes. I'm going to be sharing two experiences in particular that stick out in my head as the wildest drive-thru experiences I've had ever.
Oh, wildest.
Yeah. Wackiest, wildest.
Nice.
They were just abnormal, but in the best way possible. So this first story I'm telling happened recently, probably like a few months ago. And I'm pretty sure I was on my way to your house, actually, to watch your little baby.
Oh.
My favorite person.
Mine too.
No offense.
Oh, I would never take offense to that.
She's just the best. Okay, so I was really hungry as usual and I decided to stop at Taco Bell. So I pull up and the guy, he starts with his script and he's like, you know, hey, welcome to Taco Bell. What can I get you? Or he probably asked, like, do you want to try the... box that we have? They always have a box.
Yeah.
And they ask you. And I was like, no, I'm good. And I ordered. And he was like, okay, great. That's all for you? No sauce packets? And I was like, yeah, nothing else. And he was like, okay, awesome. Hi, welcome to Taco Bell. And immediately he goes into like the welcome script again. And then he stops like mid-bell. He goes, hi, welcome to Taco Bell. I just hear him start laughing through the drive-thru speaker. And so I start laughing.
Yeah.
Like, we're both audibly laughing to each other. And he was like, oh my gosh, that was so embarrassing. I just read the wrong script to you at the wrong time. I've never done that before. And yeah, sorry, this is awkward now. And I was like, no, it's okay, it happens. And we were just having this conversation through the drive-thru speaker.
So you're not at the window yet?
No, just at the speaker.
Okay.
Which... The act of laughing with someone through the speaker of a drive-thru was something I never thought I would experience, but it was weirdly a grounding thing to experience at the same time. It was just like, we're both humans and we're here and people need to eat and people need to work. And we're all just doing our best.
Yeah. Yeah. Did it kind of, I mean, because obviously you're interacting with a person and you know that. And then you go and see them at the window later. But yeah, did it make it feel like, oh, yeah, this isn't a robot. It's yeah. a human being.
Yeah. Because pretty much every drive-thru experience I've ever had has just been like, as quickly as possible, don't make eye contact, like, or else I'll accidentally tell them I love them or something. Because I've done that before too, but.
Oh my gosh.
Like the whole love you bye thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah, this was like a great experience to just be like, wow, we're both just living our lives, doing the things. And. Yeah. We just had a goofy little moment together.
So then what was it like when you got up to the window?
Yes. Okay. Good question. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. And he was like, okay, I'm a little frazzled. I'll just have your total for you at the window. And I was like, that's fine. So I pull up to the window and there is a car in front of me still. So it was like a good couple minutes before I get up to the window.
Yeah.
The man is still laughing by the time I drive up. He's laughing like loud. His cheeks are all red. And I was like, this is so cute. And yeah, it was just like really sweet. He was like, hey, how's it going? And didn't address it. He was like, we both know what happened. And I just thought it was like funny how funny he thought it was. So yeah. I was laughing. And when I drove away, we were both still laughing. Like,
love it.
It was just the best laughter-filled experience I've ever had.
Was he older? Was he like, you think he was like your age or a teenager?
He was probably like 18.
Okay.
Pretty young.
Yeah.
So it was just sweet. Because usually the young ones are like not that nice.
Well, just like, yeah, it's like they don't care. So I don't know if you knew this. I worked at Taco Bell for a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was in hair school, I only worked there for a few months. And I mostly worked at the drive-thru, and it's given me a whole new appreciation of the drive-thru.
Oh my gosh.
It was my favorite part. I actually preferred the drive-thru over just working like at the regular registers.
Okay.
And I could probably tell you stories.
What was the grossest thing you had to make there?
I didn't make food.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, this might have to be a story that I share. I worked it. I like finagled things. I don't know if that's the right way to say that. To where I only worked the drive-thru.
Okay, slay, Emma.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was so fun.
Were you good? Were you, like, quick and, like...
Yeah.
I feel like you gotta be coordinated to work a drive-thru.
You do, because you have to be able to communicate a little bit with the kitchen. You have to be able to push the buttons. You have to be having a conversation on the speaker while also having a conversation with the person at the window. It was a lot easier to work the drive-thru with my friend, to have the two of us there, because then I could take orders and she could handle the window. But that wasn't always the case, right? And one of us had to inevitably go on lunch. So
right.
You are working by yourself for a while. I feel pretty good about my ability in working with the drive-thru. And I had a lot of people actually tell me, they'd come up to the window and be like, you're the nicest drive-thru lady I've ever met.
Aw, they've obviously never been to Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A people are way nicer than I would ever be.
That's exactly what I was trying to say. I'm glad you said it. I didn't know.
Yeah, because we didn't have a specific script then, and I don't know if they do now. That was a really long time ago, but they let us just kind of say what we wanted. There are obviously things that they preferred that we say, but I don't think people had experiences where they pulled up to the window and were greeted with a, hi, how's your day been going? What can I get you? You know, those kinds of things. Yeah. Or like, okay, sounds great. Come up to the, right. And which is funny, because I literally had an experience where I went to Wendy's a few days ago and pulled up, and there was no greeting. It was just, what can I get you today?
Ooh.
And I was so shocked, but that happens so often. And so I think people were really surprised that they are getting somebody that was genuinely trying to interact with them. And I had somebody offer me a job once.
Oh,
like,
really?
They pulled up to the window. We're like, you're really nice.
Oh my gosh.
I could work for us. I didn't have a car. So
he said, let's make a deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I couldn't drive up to it. So I was like, you know, I don't have a car. I can't really get up there. And I just, the Taco Bell I worked at was within walking distance of my apartment. But anyway, so yes, like the people behind there are human, and it's so hard to remember that when you're hungry, you want your food, and it feels awkward that you're just talking to this stranger through an intercom.
And like they know what you're about to eat exactly.
Yeah.
That's like weirdly intimate to me.
Yeah. You can tell so much about somebody by what they're choosing to eat.
Yeah. I was like, don't think about the beefy burritos I just ordered. Why do I have to put the word beefy in everything, too?
I don't know.
It's the worst word. Anyways, I have mad respect for you, because I worked at Chick-fil-A for 2 months total when I was in high school. They put me on the drive-thru one time, and one time only, because I dropped people's debit cards 4 times in one day on the ground.
Oh my God.
And every time I'd be like, what do I do?
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
I was like, I could come around and pick it up for you. And they would just begrudgingly get out of their car and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just a clumsy girl.
That's okay. It happens. So is there any more to that story or?
That's that one. So okay,
let's hear the other one.
Yeah, the next one. Which this one I've explained in the past as one of my most embarrassing stories. But looking back on it, I don't feel any embarrassment anymore. It's just really funny.
Cool.
I was on my way to work one evening and I decided I needed some McNuggets before I went to work at a nursing home. I pull up to McDonald's. It's like a nice summer day, so I have my window down. And I have just ordered, like, probably like a 10-piece meal, knowing me. And my window was down, like I said. I have my debit card in my hand, and there's like a really long line. So I'm getting a little restless. So you know how at McDonald's there are two lines?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of places, but
yeah.
I was in the further line from the building.
Okay.
So I was like around the corner. So there was like a car facing my car sideways. No. I'm not saying this very well. There was a car perpendicular to me.
Okay.
That's the word.
Yes.
So I could like look to the left out my driver window and be looking head on at them. And I look out my window and I like make eye contact with the guy and he's like vibing to his music. And we're both just waiting for our food. And I was like, okay, great. I'm tapping my card on like the side of my door. All of a sudden, I drop my card inside the like place in my car door where the window goes, like the pocket, if yeah. you will.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh no. And I could see it in there, but I couldn't pick it out with my fingers. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try rolling it up real just a tiny bit and see if it comes up with the window. I roll it up. It immediately just falls further.
Oh no. So it falls like into the door.
Into the door.
I mean, I think I would have probably thought the same thing.
Yeah. I am traumatized by this. I have not once tapped my debit card on my car door since.
Did you ever get it out?
No. To this day, the card is still in the door of that car. Who knows where that car is now? It burned up on the side of the road one day.
Oh,
whole
yeah.
other story. So I drop it in and I'm just like absolutely shook, like jaw on the floor. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not being cool about it. And I look up and the guy that I had just made eye contact with is staring at me and laughing. And I was like, all right, we're just bonding in this moment right here. He just watched me drop my payment method into my vehicle. Unretrievable. And he's laughing at me for it, which I can't blame him. I would laugh at me too. I did laugh at me, actually. It was a stressful time between dropping my card into my door and the window where I was expected to pay for
yeah.
that food.
How did you pay?
Luckily, I had a debit card from another account that probably had a total of like $16 on the card. And I just got lucky and I was like, phew, dodged that one. But yeah, that's my second story.
So then I'm assuming you got a new card.
Yeah. And I didn't have Apple Pay at this time either.
Does McDonald's do Apple Pay?
I actually don't know.
In the drive-thru?
I'm not sure. Hmm. Actually, they do.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I did it the other day because I don't remember why, but yeah. Apple Pay works at McDonald's and Taco Bell, actually, the other restaurant in this episode. I learned two things from these experiences combined.
Okay, yes, tell me.
Number one, life is just really not that serious. Like, even the little tasks that you're doing, just nothing matters. Mm-hmm. And that might sound like a pessimistic thing to say, but truly, like, nothing matters except for the people around you and the souls that you interact with. And I feel like those small interactions with those drive-through individuals really helped me to learn that.
It's such a simple thing that honestly people forget about. And if we remembered those things and thought about those things more, then life might feel a lot less stressful. And we'd probably care a lot less about what people think about us.
Yeah. I could use a big old dose of that.
Dude, same.
Bro, it's same. The second thing I learned, which I would like to expound upon this with you, is I want every interaction I have with another human being to be treated equally, to be on the same playing field. Mm-hmm. And I've not always been a believer in this, which I feel like you have helped me learn a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I remember having dinner with you guys and Crystal too. Mm-hmm. And you guys were talking about, like, saying hi to people in Target when you see them. And I remember saying, this wasn't even a year ago, like, this was pretty recent. Uh-huh. And I was like, I just don't think, like, people really care when you do that. So I don't really put in the effort. And you guys started talking for, like, several minutes about how it's, like, made you feel important. And you're just, like, this icon in this area where you're always, like, stopping and talking to people, whether you know them or not, and making them feel important and special. And I think these, like, small micro interactions with people and, like, how much they stick out in my brain have helped me learn, like, don't take anything lightly, because the smallest, simplest experiences with people can be so significant. Like, I'm never gonna forget the face of that man who laughed with me in the drive-thru. And I never...
He'll probably never forget yours.
Oh, I know. And, like, I never even spoke to him.
Yeah.
And it's just so sweet that we as human beings have the chance to, like, affect each other in that way.
Yeah. Yes, I'm a huge, huge believer in... and how we interact with people and how it can affect their lives. I wouldn't call myself an icon.
Well, you're wrong.
But so when I was in high school, I had determined that I would do my best to be a positive force wherever I'm at. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't, you know, say negative things or feel negative feelings. That I've also come to learn as I've gotten older, because when I was younger, I was trying to just hide all those things and be positive, which doesn't work and is not healthy. But the reason for that is I knew, I was like, okay, in a group of 100 people, one person can bring that whole entire group down. And in a group of 10 people, you need like 9 of them. Actually, in a group of 10 people, you probably need like 15 to bring up the mood. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much harder to allow for positive things to affect your life than it is for negative things to affect your life.
Yeah.
There are some billboards if you drive on the freeway here in Utah where it's some friends sitting kind of on a ledge, like they obviously had just gone on a hike type thing, and it says, "This is suicide prevention." And I think it's really cool. I mean, there's so many, that's obviously a really heavy, deep topic that you know, could take up so much time, but the thought that, oh my gosh, yeah, just this small, what seems like a small thing, taking your friend out to go for a hike could mean the world to them when maybe they would have been at home alone thinking really unhappy thoughts and taking those to a place that is dangerous for their life. And then I saw a post on Instagram, I think it was, that had all these dots in a grid, and it was mostly blue dots, but it was a few red dots. And it said, don't let the red dots forget how many, make you forget how many blue dots there are in your day.
Yeah.
And I mean, there, it was really cool. I mean, maybe there were like 100 dots and only 5 of them were red. And so it just is easy. And then one other experience, I'm going on and on, but an experience that I had when I lived in Michigan for a little bit, I was, I think, just at a post office or something. I don't even remember. But I go up to the cash register and I look at the lady and I say, how's your day going? And she looks at me and goes, no one's ever asked me that before. I was like, what? She's like, no one has genuinely asked me that. Thank you. And she's like, my day's going really well. And I was like, that's so great. She's like, how is yours? And so anyway, those things have made me think a lot more about how, whether it's an interaction with a random person, make it meaningful. And not that I have to make every single you don't need to go to Target and have meaningful interactions with every single person that you would make eye contact with. But if there's an opportunity for it, then make it one that is nice. And it can seem really scary, but it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Yeah, I love that. I worked at a mental hospital for a lot of 2022. Mm-hmm. And there was this one day I got pulled to a unit that I never, ever worked on before. And I met this person who was around my age, and I had to sit in their room while they slept and make sure they didn't harm themselves, which, sorry, this is getting a little serious, but I was sitting in their room and I looked over at their mirror, and they had written on the mirror in like a dry erase marker, reasons to live. And on the list was like the tiniest little things, like Dr. Pepper. And I want to buy red pants next week. And I love the color yellow, like the tiniest little things. And I was like, it was just such a tender moment for me where I was like, if I were writing a list like that for myself, it would probably look really similar. So why am I worrying about these massive, like, philosophical things that confuse me all the time and make me question all my life choices? Like, if I had written myself a list like that, I would not have put, like, my bachelor's degree or my career path. I would put things that are so small and just bring me, like, so much joy, but don't seem significant to other people or even in the grand scheme. And it was such a great reminder for me to just stop worrying about things that I don't need to.
Yeah, my cousin, I think it's been going on for a month now. She asked if I wanted to do this thing with her where every single night we send each other three things that we're grateful for from that day. And there have been days where we've forgotten or whatever, and that's fine. But there are some days where even if it's a really good day that I have to think, I'm like, what would I say I'm actually grateful for today? You know, some days I send things like, I'm so grateful for these amazing creative opportunities and doing this. And it's like a big thing. And other days it's like, I'm grateful for French toast. Like, yeah. And it has helped me a lot. And I don't know, I haven't told her how much that's really helped me, and I probably should, but it's been really nice to look at those things. I also wanted to go back to something. So it's funny that you said, you're like, oh yeah, you guys always say hi to people. Dixon is less likely to say hi to someone that he knows than I am. Because for him, he's kind of like you. He's like, they don't really want to hear from me. I'm like, okay, but maybe they're feeling just as awkward as you and don't know what to say. And then you just say, hey, what's up? How are you? And then they feel like way better. And yeah, they might also be thinking like, please don't say anything to me. I don't want to talk to you. But then you don't have to stop and have a conversation. Just like say, hey, what's up? How are you doing? And like move on.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is you can both be right.
Yes.
Dixon can affect people to the same degree by doing different things, and I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And you have your cute little thing. And it all just works. And I think I've relied on like being an introvert for way too many things, mm-hmm. and made it an excuse. And so I've been trying to break out of that, and I've noticed a difference. I have, but it is hard. So for anyone that struggles with it, like me, I can resonate with that feeling.
And here's the thing, even though you and I are probably completely opposite when it comes to introvertness and extrovertness, we're on complete opposite ends of this, on the opposite ends of the spectrum. I struggle with it too. Right. Like that goes back to the, you have no idea what people are thinking.
Yeah.
It is something that is really scary for me as well, almost every single time. And so it's, yeah, it's still hard, but, you know, something that I want to do. And so I just make it happen anyways. I still have social anxieties. Yeah.
What? Extroverts have that?
Yes.
No way. You're lying.
No, it's true. Thank you for sharing your stories today, Olivia. And thank you to you, our listener, for tuning in for this week's episode of A Sip Down Memory Lane. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram at A Sip Down Memory Lane. We will see you next Thursday. Bye.
Bye. I'm never drinking a cup.